Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. That's 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us John Stormer. And John is certainly one of my favorite guests, and I'm sure he is yours too if you listen regularly. Back in 1964, long before I'd ever met John Stormer, I read a book he'd written called None Dare Call It Treason. And that book sold somewhere in the neighborhood of a 6-7 million copies and was instrumental, along with Phyllis Schlafly's book, A Choice Not an Echo, in bringing about the nomination of Barry Goldwater for the presidential nomination. Of course, Barry Goldwater didn't stand a chance because of the degree of control over the media, and they attacked him, and they had psychiatrists who'd never met him who attested the fact that he had to be crazy. Anybody'd have to be crazy to believe in limiting the power of government and of course, going into war to try to win the war and get out of the war. And of course, well, there were so many things that have happened that John Stormer talked about in that book, None Dare Call It Treason, and now we, of course, carry his book, None Dare Call It Treason, 25 years later. But John became a minister, and he's retired now, but he's still every week goes and gives a Bible study to the people in the legislature there in Missouri. And aren't the majority of the people there in the state legislature in Missouri actually Christians today? John? Oh, let's see. John?
They make professions, and there are a lot of people with really solid testimonies, yes.
And, of course, it's amazing what one person can do. You know, how long have you been putting on that Bible study there in the state capitol?
I think last Wednesday we started the 28th year.
Well, I wish we had one of those Bible studies in every single capital across America, because that's really how we're going to change America. We're going to have to do it one person at a time, one soul at a time.
Well, we try. I guess the goal was to make the Christians that were there in that time, and there's a whole lot more now, but give them a vision that they, one of them and the Lord, can be a majority. And over the years, there have been a few of the things that we saw happen back, I guess, 20-some years ago. We were able to see one of our Bible study members amend a child abuse bill going through that defined child abuse as causing emotional and physical and all that kind of, you know, pain. And he managed to get an amendment in that said accept that discipline, including spanking in a reasonable manner, cannot be construed as child abuse.
Well, I'm sure that, you know, this has had an impact upon Missouri, and who knows, maybe we'll start taking the United States back starting in Missouri. But until we have people who understand that this is a spiritual battle and we have legislators who are willing to take a stand for righteousness, why, nothing's really going to change either in the State House or there in Washington, D.C., will it?
That's right.
Well, today we were going to talk a little bit about your experience. Some of the times as a minister, you would actually run into people who had actually been demonically possessed or would actually have... Of course, this sounds like something from the X-Files, but is there really a reality? Is there another dimension out there?
Well, there certainly is, and I think the Scripture warns us about it, and even Christians can be susceptible. The Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, which was written really to lay out the principles of spiritual warfare.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And, of course, our guest this afternoon is John Stormer. And he's written books that have sold, I guess, maybe between None Dare Call It Treason and None Dare Call It Education and some of the other books he's written. What, 10 or 11 million copies of your books are out across America?
That's correct.
Well, I think that's an amazing accomplishment. So you must be fabulously wealthy.
Well, we've sold a lot of books, but we've sold an awful lot of them for the None Dare Call It Treason back then. Some of them went out for as low as 15 cents a copy. And even my current books, if somebody buys 100 of the None Dare Call It Education, which is an $8.95 book, and that sounds like a lot of money, but if you buy 100 of them, you get them for $1.25. We're really interested in getting the message out.
I know that. I said that with tongue in cheek. I sometimes will share rooms with John when we go to meetings together. And of course, both of us are looking at the lower line on the bill. But anyway, you know, John has been totally dedicated. He's never done this at all for money. He's done it for the Lord and to try to have some influence on what's happening in America. Well, we were going to talk about this other dimension that's out there, because you, as a minister of the gospel, have on occasion actually come into contact with some of these dark spiritual forces, haven't you?
Yes, the violent sort, that really shakes you up, but there's a tremendous amount of influence that the evil forces have, even in the lives of Christians. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, which was actually written to spell out the principles of spiritual warfare, and the book was written to Christians, addressed to Christians, and in Ephesians 4:27, the Apostle Paul said, "Neither give place to the devil." And that's a physical place in the particular word used there. And as I've studied the scriptures, I see that there's at least probably seven places in scripture that tell us how even a Christian can give place to the devil and give some area of influence in his life to manipulate his way of thinking, or ultimately even to control them physically.
And I think that that's very important. I think a lot of people think that this can't affect Christians, but we're not immune to this at all. In fact, I would think that the devil would try to target Christians, and especially Christian ministers or Christian leaders if he could. And hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment as we bring our other stations on. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course, John Stormer was talking about the fact that sometimes why Christians, of course, can be affected by these truly demonic forces. You want to pick up the story there, John?
Well, there's you mentioned just before we shifted there that even ministers and certainly 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, and I think it's the 10th chapter, points out that the devil can actually possess and have ministers that appear to be ministers of God, but they're actually serving Satan. But the real danger, as I've studied this thing, and a lot of people don't want to acknowledge that there could be a problem, but the founder of Back to the Bible years ago wrote a book, How to Resist Satan. It's an outstanding book. And interestingly, since he went to be with the Lord back 10 or 15 years ago, the book has been reissued, and it has changed some of the message. Some of what he pointed out is experiences he'd had with Christians that had real problems with the devil. But you've focused a lot of good attention on the occult forces in the world, and that's the first area, really, that a person can open up their life to the devil. In Deuteronomy 18th, 19th chapter, and in Leviticus as well, there are warnings against fortune-telling and soothsaying and astrology and a lot of those areas where people are looking to some sort of a strange force, a Ouija board, to and there is a force there, but it's not the force of God, it's the force of the devil. And you get involved in that sort of things, and it gives the devil a place in your life.
You know, I think most people sort of laugh at the thought that the Ouija board could have any influence on anything, or that a water diviner, could be bad. After all, it'll find wells. But, of course, the real problem is you're tapping into forces you have no business tapping into at all.
That's right. If you give place in your life to the devil, and... there's an awful lot of the depression that people suffer from, and obsessions. Once the devil gets a place in your life, you can just get overcome by jealousy and fears and paranoia and all those sort of things, and your life is just manipulated and controlled by these forces of darkness.
And they're not imaginary. I think they're very, very real. Well, of course, you as a Christian minister must have encountered some people who really had these problems through the years.
Yes, I have. And we've seen actually there's the scripture in 2 Timothy 2. A number of years ago, somebody that prayed for me, a lady, called me one day and said, "I don't know what this means, but she said, as I was praying, the Lord just seemed to speak to my heart and say to tell you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm turning there right now, the last few verses of 2 Timothy, and the scripture says the scripture there says, and this is directed to Timothy, who was a minister, and the servant of God must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, ready to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may remove themselves, recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And the key to helping people, if they through some sin, and there's maybe seven different areas that you can open your lives that way, and become aware that in some cases it's just emotional problems or overcoming tiredness, or as I said, jealousy, and some of those things. You can bring the person, help the person to come to see the sin that has opened their life, that they've given place to the devil through it, and they just need to repent of it, confess it to the Lord. He promises if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And once we take that step, then we can, in the power of God, tell Satan and his evil forces that we're now covered with the blood of Christ. We've confessed our sin, and he has no more legal right in us that he's to leave.
Well, you know, it sounds really so sort of simple, but of course the thing is that I think that a lot of people make it very, very complex, and maybe a really difficult confrontation for the ministers who's involved. But and some people, of course, like to sensationalize it, and that really sounds sort of exciting, like the thing you'd see on the X-Files. And yet, of course, the Christian really does have the ability to force the devil out of people's lives or out of their own lives if they simply depend upon not their own ability but the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is really what gives us all protection, isn't it?
That's right. And the key to it is coming to repentance. In other words, uncovering what was it that that gave place to the devil. And there are six or seven of their areas. For example, in Matthew 18, and in 2 Corinthians 2, we're warned about the danger of being unforgiving. Remember there when Peter, the Lord, had talked about resolving differences, and Peter said, Lord, how many times I got to forgive that guy? 7 times? And the Lord said, no, 7 times 70. And then he went on to tell a story about the man who'd been given great forgiveness by actually the Lord, and then he went out and refused to forgive somebody that owed him something. And you get down to the end of Matthew 18, the Lord says that if you don't forgive from your heart the way you've been forgiven, your heavenly Father is going to turn you over to the tormentors.
Now, forgive us our debts as we forgive those, or our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And those tormentors are evil spirits.
Right.
Another of the areas that you know, gives the devil place in our lives can be pride. It's where we put ourselves up as greater than God, in effect, and we get out from under God's protection. Drugs and music really opens a life. There's been in recent years just all sorts of problems. Merrill Unger, the professor at Dallas Seminary years ago, and he had written a book on dealing with the devil, and said Christians can't have a problem. But in the late 1960s, Dr. Unger got out and started working with the Jesus people and some of these people that were being saved out of terrible lives. And he came to see that he had to change his whole position and wrote a different book. He cooperated with the head of the Bible department at Moody Bible Institute, and turned out a very good book that dealt with the fact that the matter of drugs. In Revelation 18, where it tells us that Satan is going to get power over the world through his pharmakia. Well, that's the Greek word. It's translated sorcery there, but it's really the word from which pharmacy comes, and so forth. And these drugs take you under control, and then the evil spirits can get in. And the same way with the music. There's two kinds of music in the Bible. There was the music when Moses and Joshua came down off the mountain, and they heard the noise of war in the camp. And then they found it wasn't the noise of war. It was the music for that idolatry and all that nude dancing and all the rest. I think maybe it was kind of like some of the rock music today. Then the other music is in 1 Samuel chapter 16, where Saul, through his rebellion, has opened his life to the devil and was being harassed, and they'd send for young David, and he'd play music on his harp, and the evil spirits would leave. And so we see that that music can have a definite effect. Saul's problem, by the way, was the scripture says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It can open the life of someone to the work of evil spirits.
Well, I really believe that the music, this rock music, comes right out of the pit of hell. I think, you know, it really can promote rebellion in people. In fact, that was the whole theme of the 60s, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, rebellion. Rebellion, I believe, can be promoted by music. And I really feel we carry a video set. It's either the 3, 4, or 10 hours. They sold their souls for rock and roll. Many of the people who are in the rock industry and the music industry will admit that they have sold their souls for rock and roll. We'll tell you more about that in just a moment when we come back here at Radio Liberty. Our special guest, John Stormer. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295.
We have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma, What Really Happened. And of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy McVeigh acted independently. We're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, What Really Happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long suppressed video footage of what really transpired.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health despite their fatty diet because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this afternoon is John Stormer, who is a minister of the gospel, also a writer and certainly one of the best informed people about the various movements we talk about here on Radio Liberty, about the various secret societies and secret organizations, but he also is well aware of the spiritual implications of so much of what's going on. So if you want to pick up the story from there, John?
Well, we've mentioned a few of these ways in which we're warned in the scripture that we can give place to the devil. And one of them is getting involved in false religions. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, the scripture says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." In other words, there's false religion out there. Twisting of the true Christian religion, and the scripture calls it the doctrines of demons. And people that get involved in some of these cults, even though they come out, maybe end up coming to Christ will have some difficulty in really moving out and taking a real stand. What happens is this. Once Satan gets a place in a life, now, the demon cannot occupy that place in the spirit where God's Holy Spirit takes up. But when we're not filled with the Spirit, as the Scripture tells us to do, then the evil spirit can use that part of our life, manipulating our mind, our emotions, or even physically. And that's the reason why it's so important, and why in the book of Ephesians, which was written to lay out the principles of spiritual warfare, we're told, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but keep on being filled with the Spirit. And as long as we're filled with the Spirit, the evil spirit can't control. That's why the danger of sin, when we let sin get into an area of our life, then the Spirit of God can't get access to that until we confess the sin and get cleansed and just tell the devil he doesn't have any more right in us. We've mentioned the drugs and music. Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Pride, where we get singing that great hymn of the faith, you know, how great I art, gets us out from under the protection of God and lets the devil get a place there. And another of the areas that can really cause problems in Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, God says that for those that get themselves involved with false gods, that the sin of the fathers will be placed on the children to the third and the fourth generation. And this thing can afflict families down through a number of generations.
And, you know, this really seems so incredible to the Christians here in America today, who really don't understand the supernatural world that's out there. Certainly in many other countries, many primitive or poorly developed countries, the people there are well aware of these demonic spirits and these other forces. But here in America, why the average individual has so little knowledge or understanding that there really is a spiritual warfare taking place.
There very definitely is. And you've, in your one book on the forces of darkness, you mentioned some of those areas, some of those false religions, if you'll have it, things like masonry. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody that gets involved in masonry knows what they're doing, but those who really get wrapped up in all of that ritual and all of that teaching and all the rest. I've had some experiences with, I had a fellow I encountered at one point, and I'd heard these things, but I started to notice something. As I would try to witness to that man, or I would just start to talk to him, and in fact, I had an encounter with him. He was a barber, and he was the head of ritual for their particular temple, and he had bragged at 25,000 words of stuff he'd led. But I noticed that any time the word Jesus Christ was mentioned, he'd turn and spit. And I thought, well, that's just a coincidence. But I started to test it out, and that man just hated Jesus Christ.
And, of course, this is what happens when you get involved in some of these alternative religions. And, of course, you either accept the divinity of Jesus Christ, or you will stand, I fear, as the Masons will, before the great white throne of judgment. And nobody has ever told them that the great white throne of judgment, according to the Revelation, is the judgment of the damned. We'll be back here in just a moment, here at Radio Liberty.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia in Siberia at the end of the Second World War. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened at TWA 800 on the route there off the eastern coast or at Yonagon? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book anywhere that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
And we'll be back in just a moment with our special guests. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is John Stormer, whose books, about 10 or 11 million copies of his books, are out and circulating across America. And in fact, we do carry three videos that John has done. We carry his book, None Dare Call It Treason. We carry None Dare Call It Treason 25 years later, which brings you right up, of course, to, well, almost not quite, it's a couple of years, maybe 10 years or so ago, of what was going on in the world since the 1964. And then, of course, we carry his book, None Dare Call It Education. We think they're also important to understand what's going on. If you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to talk to John on the subject we're talking on, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. And John has been talking about his experience as a minister, encountering people who truly were demonically possessed, people who tapped into that other dimension intentionally or inadvertently, and suddenly, of course, their life changes, and changes dramatically. And if they don't understand what's happening, or they don't understand what to do, why, of course, they are in real trouble. So, you know, what should people do if they really fear that they're demonically possessed?
Well, there's the three levels, actually. There's oppression, there's obsession, which gets into the mind, and then there is possession. And the lower levels of that, if people come to believe that they might have a problem in that regard, they just need to look at the scriptures, and as I indicated, the various levels, if they've had occult involvement in their own life or in the background in their family, if there's some area of rebellion, if they've been unforgiving, if they've been involved in drugs and music, areas of pride, or that maybe have a background in some sort of false religion that they've dabbled with, the thing to do is to confess it, and once it's confessed, then to tell the evil forces that they have to leave. Now, they get involved in actual possession, where the evil forces can take them over and speak through them and some of those things. Probably going to need some real help from someone that understands and can really minister to them.
And this is not a game. This is not something to do for a parlor trick. This, of course, is confronting the very real evil that which is in the world, and the demonic forces which actually can possess people's body, and they can write differently. They can speak foreign languages that they've never been trained in. They speak with a different tone of voice. You've actually manifested or seen manifestations of some of these, haven't you?
Yes, I have, and it's not something. After I got through one real experience, on one occasion, the ladies in our church, we had to keep a couple of ladies, three, four ladies, with a woman for months on end to keep her from killing herself and all sorts of things as we were dealing with the problems and getting various levels. The woman had classic symptoms of schizophrenia. And there was actually a demon there who called himself Splithead. as we got to the bottom of things, and she had a terrible background. She had been very much abused as a child, starting when she was 3 years old, then physically abused and sexually abused and all that kind of stuff, and came out of it just so terribly, terribly mixed up. But she finally was brought out through help, and came to a place where she was able to settle down and live a fairly normal life.
And, of course, I really worry about how many people that we consider to be schizophrenic and are institutionalized or placed on large amounts of medication who really are victims of this demonic possession.
Right, right.
How can you differentiate them? How would you go about differentiating?
Well, I think that from my experience that you come to a sense of rebellion and some other things, some background knowledge on the people, and in this one instance that this lady had come to Christ and was growing. My wife had been ministering to her, and I was preaching through the book of Romans on Wednesday nights. And when I got to Romans 12, present your bodies a living sacrifice, and so forth, we came home from church, and about 10 o'clock at night, I got a call from this lady, and she said, Pastor, she said, can somebody have a devil in them? Scared me to death. And I said, well, yeah, and invited her to come by the house, and she got there, and I'd seen some of these things, and I just told the devil in the name of Jesus to identify himself, and the woman passed out and started writhing on the floor and so forth, you know. And that opened many months of ministering, so that where the problem really can show up is with a saved person when they try to yield themselves to the Holy Spirit, as we're commanded to do. The evil spirit will react and in effect say, no, you don't have I have a legal right to this part of the body, and can produce some real reactions.
And this is not something I think the average person really wants to fool with. They have to get somebody who is deeply committed, to our Lord to manage this. This is something that
right,
you need a certain amount of experience.
Somebody is an excellent book that I came across after having had some experiences was Merrill Unger's book, Dr. Merrill Unger, and I don't know whether the title's Dealing with the Devil, or I don't remember what the title of it is anymore, but the key would be Merrill Unger, U-N-G-E-R, the Unger Bible Dictionary, and he's a long time, he's with the Lord now, but did an excellent job.
All right. Well, let's go to Don, who's calling us from Texas. Hi, Don. How are you?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I had kind of a comment and a question.
Go ahead. Speak up just a little louder, please.
Okay. I read None Dare Call It Treason back in, it was 1965. I was a sophomore in high school, and that had a profound impact on my life from then up until now. And I just wanted to thank you for the courage it took to write that book. And I know it's had an impact on a lot of other people. And I've been extremely exasperated today with the state of the ministry in the United States and their willingness to just give a blanket endorsement to government via verses in Romans 13, and I'd love to hear your comments on that, Dr. Stormer.
Right now, of course, for our guests, people who don't know, Romans 13 says we should be subservient to government. God put those people in position over us, and we should simply go along with that. Would that be a fair appraisal, John?
That's
the view that some people present. Now, I'm somewhere in the middle of the rotor on this. I personally believe, based on the Romans 13 and particularly 1 Peter 2, that submission to government is absolute. But there's always two ways to submit. Any law that's passed says you either do this, or this is the penalty. Daniel, for example, when they said, you can't pray for a month except to the king. Said, well, I can't obey that. And he got down and prayed. And then they came along and said, and the law said, anybody that does is going to have to go in the lion's den. And he didn't say, you don't have any right to do that or whatever. He submitted to the penalty. And that is my view that, in other words, if you feel that you cannot pay your taxes because the money is used in an evil way, then you have to end up accepting the penalty. Does that make any sense?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, Don, any other thing else you'd like to ask?
That'd be it this evening. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks very much. Let's go to Roger calling from Pennsylvania. Hi, Roger. Do you have a question?
Yes, thanks, gentlemen. I'd like to ask you, John, is there any flaw in my reasoning that I sort of had a second question, which I'll defer to.
Well, why don't you just take one question at a time?
Yeah, the first one is any flaw to my thinking that Satan is cognizant that his time is short, and you might say he wants to get the most bounce for the ounce. Now we have had at least been living on the inertia of a heavily Christianized culture, whereas now it's going into a positively pagan mode, at least for large sectors of the society. So am I correct in thinking that until now, with the cognizance of Christian scripture, that direct demonic possession has been less pronounced in this nation than in many others that haven't had that exposure, because otherwise it would serve as sort of a warning and be sort of self-defeating in his purposes, whereas here he would tend to operate more in influence mode rather than outright possession.
All right. Well, that sounds like a very, very good question.
That's a good question. And insofar as a lot of manifestation today, I think just quickly, if you approach the Bible and recognize that there were seven different ages or dispensations, starting with the age of innocence in the garden, and then the time of the age of human conscience, and then human government, and then under the law, and then the age of grace in which we're living now. If you study history and study scripture, you'll see that each one of those ages ended with a burst of satanic activity. In the garden, he deceived Eve and Adam and so forth, and then the time of Noah, there was a manifestation there. And at the time the Lord was here, for example, everywhere they went, they were running into demons as they were reaching the end of the age of the law. So the current really manifestations that we're seeing really worldwide, particularly in America, I think, are indications that we may be coming near the end of the age.
And don't you think we're perhaps seeing this much more today than they would have seen 50 years ago when there was more of a Christian influence?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
All right, Roger, did that answer your question?
Yeah, the second one was maybe more seminal, and that was, can a Christian, however weak initially, and while they can have the Holy Spirit heavily quenched, albeit I think not killed, can that demon coexist, in other words, in someone who is a genuinely saved Christian,
all right,
alongside the Holy Spirit, in other words?
All right, fine, and I think that that is a very important issue. John, go ahead. I think you've already addressed that.
The answer there is that no, a demon cannot inhabit the spirit of a person who's been saved, but any part of that person that is not filled with the Spirit, mind, emotions, physically, then the devil and his evil spirits, the demon really, can manipulate and work in that area.
But that still sounds like more like influence than possession per se.
Well, if a person yields their whole body, a saved person, the devil can end up speaking through them, can take them under, can manifest superhuman strength, even though there's a clear-cut evidence of salvation.
So, Roger, just don't open yourself at all to this, because this really is
right.
A very, very frightening thing.
God bless you all.
God bless. Thanks very much. Well, our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And our guest this afternoon is John Stormer. And this is really, I believe, a very important subject. I know I first became aware of this after reading a book by Malachi Martin, who was kept approaching this from a Catholic point of view. But his book, Hostages of the Devil, is certainly one of the most significant books I've read, because two of these stories actually are about the satanic experience on their five stories, and two of them involve Catholic priests who almost lost their souls. Simply because their faith was too weak to actually fend off these dark forces, which is why I say that this is not something you want to get involved in. It's not a parlor trick. This is a true spiritual battle. That spiritual battle involves every aspect of our lives. But if you encounter one of these people who have this dark force in them, you better be certain of your own faith before you try to encounter that. Would that be a fair statement, John?
That's very, very true. And you need to walk carefully with the Lord, being constantly filled with the Spirit, with your sin confessed, and stand in God's power. Dealing with these situations is not simply a matter of some ritual or some words. There were some people in the book of Acts that used the words, and the devil, the demons come out and just beat the tar out of them. So it's only through the power of God manifested in and through you that you need a knowledge of the Scriptures.
Amen to that. Well, we've got Daryl calling from Pennsylvania. This will be our last call for the hour. Daryl, did you have a question or comment?
Dr. Stan, I just wanted to say I have both of John Stormer's books, None Dare Call It Treason and None Dare Call It Education. They're two wonderful books, and they're both offered by Radio Liberty, and two of the best I've got on my bookshelf, and I'd urge folks to get those from Radio Liberty. And I'd just like to tell everyone, please take a look at RadioLiberty.com and to get Dr. Stan's newsletter. I just got the latest one. You put out great newsletters, Dr. Stan. And God bless and thank you both for all you do.
Thank you. And as long as we're mentioning newsletters, John, do you want to tell people about your newsletter, how they can get in touch with you?
Okay, I publish periodically, not quite as often as you do, but when I have something to say, a newsletter called Understanding the Times. And if they want a sample copy, if they would drop me, John Stormer, Box 32, Florissant, Missouri, 63032. Actually, I think the key parts of the address, the way they do things, would be Box 32 and the zip 63032, and just tell me they'd like a sample copy of that newsletter.
And that is Florissant, Missouri. And of course, John has three videos. We do carry those. What are the names of them?
What are the dead communists doing in the world today? That's number one. the war against our culture through the schools. And the third one is the biblical basis of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution.
And I think that last one is really so vitally important, because you have to understand the foundations of our freedom. If you don't understand what America is all about, how can you possibly defend it or ever hope to recapture it? We do carry all three of those, and if you get all three of them together, it's a very, very special offer, which we offer, and glad to, because we want you to have the information, and John does a great job on those. We're just about out of time. What are your parting thoughts?
Well, I think the word that the Apostle Paul had in Ephesians, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but keep on being filled with the Spirit.
God bless you, and thanks so much, John.
Now, most people would laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago. And it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course we are talking about a four-tape set on the secret government that has an interview with Professor Carol Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, my interview with Norman Dodd, where, of course, he was the director of research for the Reese Committee, the only congressional committee ever allowed to investigate the great tax-exempt foundations. And what did they find? Why, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, Carnegie Foundation were funding communist and socialist organizations and communist front organizations and socialist pro-socialist organizations, because they understood that this is really an elitist concept. Destroy our form of government, which limits the power of government, centralize all power with government in the name of helping the people, and then, of course, by the support of the politicians, and now you have a new ruling elite. That's what it's really all about. That's why my interview with Norman Dodd is so important. That's why the Reese Committee report is so important. We carry a book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, which was the only true story of the Reese Committee investigation of the great tax-exempt foundations. And they found that way back in 1908, they were planning on World War I. Why? Because they realized that war was the way that they were going to change the world and to bring about their world government. And that's exactly what's going on today. I mean, we didn't invade Iraq because they had weapons of mass destruction. We didn't invade them because Saddam Hussein was a wicked man, because we'd been financing him all along. And if you doubt that, you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And as for the Washington Post article, when an ally becomes an enemy, that's 1-800-544-8927. When an ally becomes an enemy, we, of course, invaded Iraq and went to war to change the world. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We're dependent upon you, if you listen to us, to help us. If you believe there's a problem, if you believe Radio Liberty has something unique and worthwhile to say. So remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we'd be glad to send you a copy of our December newsletter. Now, our November newsletter was on fluoride. Our December newsletter was on fluoride. And it is largely testimony that was given by Dr. William Hersey. And it was either in 2000 or 2002. But Dr. Hersey is a scientist, works for the EPA, and represents the scientists of the Environmental Protection Agency, trying to let the American people know that their children are being poisoned by water fluoridation, that they're putting in not only hydrofluosilicic acid, they're putting lead and arsenic and cadmium and polonium into your drinking water and intensely to poison your family. And this is an amazing testimony, totally blocked out by the controlled media. They don't want the American people to realize that the reason they're fluoridating the water is to decrease fertility, to poison the minds of our children, to poison the endocrine systems of our children, to create cancers. Because after all, there are too many people in the world. They've got to die of something. Why not let them die of cancer? And you say, nobody could be that cruel and crass. Well, if you'd like a free copy of our December newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Now, if you do have the Internet, you can go up on our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. You can pull down our newsletters, and we welcome your copying those newsletters and circulating them to others, because we're trying to get the truth out to the American people. They're poisoning us with fluoride. They're poisoning us with aspartame. They're poisoning us with mercury. They're poisoning us with many of the medications. And some of the recent studies on animals show how certainly the salicylates and like in a similar manner the non-steroidals will of course decrease the sexual urges of animals, supposedly because it's going to impact on testosterone production. We know that both fluoride and of course aspartame decrease fluoride, and there's much to suggest that the statin drugs, because they're suppressing cholesterol, and cholesterol is the is the product of the, and out of cholesterol comes of course testosterone. You don't have low cholesterol level, you're going to have a low testosterone level. They know exactly what they're doing. They want docile people. That's why we have so many men now who have sexual dysfunction. This is not accidental. They know what they're doing, but don't you worry, now they have new medicines for that. And with each new medicine, there are new problems for the American people. You need to get the information readily available from Radio Liberty. If you'd like, of course, to get our free newsletter, 1-800-544-8927. Our website, radioliberty.com. And, of course, you can listen to our programs directly or indirectly 5 hours a day on the Internet. You can, of course, listen to our programs 4 hours a day on shortwave. And your job is to get to other people and get them to get our information, to get our four-tape sets on fluoride, to get our four-tape set on aspartame, to get our four-tape set on mercury, to get our four-tape set on why we still have cancer, our four-tape set on population control, our four-tape set on the Dr. Brzezinski's treatment, or we even have the book, The Brzezinski Breakthrough. The government is suppressing treatments for cancer. Why would they do that? Because we're dealing with organized evil. Why do we have the Gulf War illness that has incapacitated between 200,000 and 300,000 of the Gulf War veterans? Why they want to destroy our military. Do you know a better way than to give people a disease for which there is no cure at all? And, of course, if you want to get more of that, the book is Vaccine A. How did they infect the majority of the American people with a monkey virus that produces cancer? That's a book called The Virus and the Vaccine. Again, the books Vaccine A or on the virus and the Vaccine. And then, of course, remember our number, 1-800-544-8927, our web space, radioliberty.com. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.